Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to your Maryland. The late winter and spring of 1814 were hard on Chesapeake sailors. Though Admiral George Cockburn and most of his marauding British fleet were wintering in Bermuda, the Royal Navy still prowled the bay, shutting down the coastal trade. If he was lucky, a man might find a place aboard a privateer, but there wasn't much else. The Navy's ships would be ready someday, not yet. So there was little to do except drink away the short days and long nights in a Fells Point saloon or wander the docks at St. Michael's. Then word spread that Joshua Barney, the noted privateersman, was putting together a fleet of small gunboats to take back the bay. Armed with a cannon fore and aft, each carried a couple of small lateen sails, but would move in and about the shallows the old-fashioned way, by virtue of men pulling oars. This wasn't work for the faint-hearted. The boats had no comforts, and no protection for the crews when they went up against the great killing machines of the early 19th century, the Royal Navy's fearsome 74-gun ships of the line. But the men had families to feed. By late May 1814, the Chesapeake Flotilla, as it was called, with 18 boats, a well-liked commander, and 500 sailors, was rowing down the bay looking for trouble. Just above the Patuxent River, they found it. Barney was ready to have at it, but coming toward him were several ships, including a frigate and the mighty 74 HMS Dragon. Heavily outgunned, Barney turned westward into the teeth of a rising gale and rowed up the Patuxent as far as Solomon's. When the British followed a few days later, he turned into St. Leonard Creek, where none but the smallest vessels could go. The British waited a week, then tried to lure him out of St. Leonard's. After 2 days of maneuvering, 700 sailors and Royal Marines, with flags flying and a band playing marches from Mozart and Haydn, rowed up the creek in 21 barges and a rocket barge. Barney pounced. The Chesapeake Flotilla rushed downstream. Gunners from Baltimore and St. Michael's found their range, and the British quickly discovered that these men knew their business. After a British schooner ran aground trying to flee, they shot it full of holes before retiring upstream. A second battle 2 weeks later went much like the first, except that this time the flotilla managed to escape the creek and row up the Patuxent toward Upper Marlborough. But Cockburn had returned. In August, he landed 4,000 veterans under General Robert Ross at Benedict with a plan to march on Washington. The game was up. Barney was ordered to scuttle his little fleet. Yet that wasn't the last the world heard of his flotilla men. At Bladensburg, the British routed two lines of American militia, only to find Barney blocking the road to Washington with 400 defiant sailors, 100 Marines, and some very well-served naval guns. Though Barney went down with a wound in his hip, his men fought on, even charging the oncoming British with their cutlasses, until he ordered them to retreat. Later, as they stood respectfully over their fallen adversary, the British commander sent for a doctor, and Ross turned to the admiral. "I told you," he said, "it was the flotilla men." A few weeks later, as bombs arced lazily upward into a black, rainy night and fell into Fort McHenry, 1,200 Royal Marines attempted an amphibious landing behind the fort. Had they succeeded and taken it from the rear, Baltimore would have been theirs. One can only imagine their reaction, as cannons suddenly flashed in their faces, round shot crunched into their boats, and raucous taunts rose from the shore. Who else but the flotilla men? The next morning, the weather cleared. Baltimoreans cheered the Royal Navy's departure, and the flotilla men were the toast of the town. Yet months passed, the war ended, and the men, whose bedding and possessions had gone down with their boats, and whom Congress still hadn't bothered to pay, found themselves staring at another long, hard winter. Some just walked away. Others quit in disgust. But the Chesapeake Flotilla, whose bravery shone so brightly in Maryland's darkest hour, had become a never-to-be-forgotten chapter in the history of your Maryland.